is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome back to the Wednesday Poll List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what the hell is up, man?
What is up, buddy? It's our new podcast voice.
Simon got vocal surgery over the break, and that's how he sounds now. He sounds like Casey Kasem from Scooby-Doo.
Casey Kasem.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, man.
How was your break?
It was not as long as I expected it to be. Not that I really thought. I mean, you and I have.
Gonna say, not as long as I wanted.
No, not at all. I mean, like, it just, you reminded me that, you know, like, what we're recording is coming out next week.
Yeah.
Right. Back, so I was just like, oh shit. Yeah. It's fucking time flies.
Yeah. We were going to try to keep some in the chamber, but we just didn't. every week that passed by, I was like,
keep some in the chamber.
Yeah.
That sounds super gross.
Well, it's good to be back, man. We don't have any like New Year's resolutions for the podcast. Obviously, we're going to just keep doing what we always have done. We're going to try to just talk to each other every week. That's like baseline goals for ourselves.
Yeah. Hey, all you people, your New Year's resolution should be to listen to more of our podcast and tell all your friends.
And on this, you know, we're going to spend a little bit more time on Patreon. That's specific to this episode because the review that we're doing is going to be the new Thick Cut, which is the book that we break down issue by issue on Patreon. So you'll listen to this episode, and if you want more of that, you'll go to subscribe to Patreon, and then you'll get the full breakdown. And Simon and I can just kick back on a beach and record podcasts all day.
Yeah, man. Please. God.
Yeah. We only need 1 million of you guys just to subscribe every month.
Yeah, about, you know, a couple hundred maybe. I'd be happy with that.
1 million is my goal. 1 million is my New Year's resolution for 2023. Yeah,
why not to worry about a lofty goal?
This is the section of the podcast where we review a trade. And as we mentioned at the beginning of this episode, we're doing things a little different this week. For our first episode, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, we're taking another stab at the Thick Cut. If you remember the Thick Cut from last year, or if you are a patron, you know what we're talking about. If not, the Thick Cut is a show we do exclusively for Patreon, where we go more in depth on the issues. So in 2022, we tried really hard to not break down our reviews panel by panel. But we still kind of like doing that. So over on Patreon, we do that every week. We break down an issue of a long-running series. We tried to do it with Batman Nightfall, and I take full credit for this. I just did not want to read it. Like I have read it. I have read it before, like back in the day. Enjoyed it, and it's like one of those things where it's like I enjoyed it back in the day, and now I'm reading it. I'm having a bad time.
It is very like. As much as I wanted to get through it, it is very of its time, which we'll talk about later, you know, with this book that we're reading. But it is so of its time. But it was like of the time when comics were not good.
And like I agree with you. And I think what is the disconnect for me is because it's a coveted story in Batman lore. It's like when Bane broke, it's like, hey, can you even told like, hey, do you have a recommendation for a Batman book? And you're friend or whatever said, oh, you need to read the Nightfall series. And it's like, if someone recommended me that and I read it, I'd be like,
this person don't know shit about comics.
Have you read this?
Yeah, it's so good.
And you know, and I wasn't a huge fan of the art, especially like super long-eared million riblet characters. I know some people like that. I got blocked on Twitter a few times for making fun of it.
It's got a lot of cysts.
Yeah. Oh man, too soon. My dog has.
Cyst is different than cancer.
At this point, I'm assuming he's going to be dead. But
Jesus
Christ. Oh, I'll cut that out. But so we're going to take another stab at it. This time, I recommended a book that I loved when I first read it years ago. Loved years ago. It's called Exiles. It's by Marvel. I thought it would be a good thing. The weird thing about Nightfall was that it had a ton of tie-ins, and the main story jumped around between multiple books. So it would be Detective Comics 1 week, and then to get part two, you have to read Batman. To get part three, you would have to read some other Secrets of the Bat or some weird story like that. And you'd have to read all these different ongoing stories, and I always felt like I was missing something. So with this is more of a linear story, even though it's not really linear because it jumps all around, but it's more of like a self-contained run, long mm-hmm. run. So
it's its own book, is yeah. what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an event in, you know, Batman or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Exiles, I'm excited to revisit it. I'm also excited to see what Simon thinks of it. It's, you know, and I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't think Simon would be into it at all. I love Elseworlds. I love What If. I know Simon kind of digs that too, like alternate, because he gets the gist of most of the characters. If you've been listening, you know he doesn't keep up with monthly comic books, but he's a nerd, so he knows the gist of most of the characters.
I do know that comic book characters exist.
Yeah. You know, and Spider-Man got bit by a spider.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man ate a spider. I know that Batman chewed the bat's head off, so I understand how they get their powers.
Wolverine's a short little man. He is short.
He's a Wolverine shaped as a man, yes.
Yeah.
And so on what Lex is saying is, so we're going to continue the Exiles book throughout the year. But
yeah.
For our first trade review of the year, we're gonna be reading Exiles Volume 1. So yeah. That's what we're doing today.
Yeah, give you guys a little teaser. We're not gonna go panel by panel. We're just gonna kind of get into the world a little bit. And Volume 1 is only 1 through 4, so I'm in red 5, so maybe we'll talk about 5, and then it's a kind of a cliffhanger, and you'll have to sign up to the Patreon to see what we think about the next few issues.
And that's how we get you.
Yeah, you're trapped now, bitch.
Well, yeah, turn it off now if you don't want to be trapped.
So, Exiles. This book came out in 2002. We were in high school. Very young.
Yeah, man. Never forget.
Very young. Like, not high school. Like, we were about to... Well, I guess...
No, it was high... Yeah, we were like freshmen, man.
Yeah, we were freshmen in high school.
Maybe sophomores. It came out when there was a lot of new blood, like Ultimate Spider-Man was coming out, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 1 had already come out, so comic books were getting kind of a renewed interest, I feel like.
Yeah, Age of Apocalypse had just ended a few years before, and mm-hmm. so it was popular. I would never read that. I know we talked about it on the Thick Cut, maybe doing that next, but I knew that it would be the same thing. Like, I knew that I don't ever want to revisit that because I have so many fond memories of it. And I just know it's bad. And so this is like, and we'll get a few references to Age of Apocalypse. This is a few years after that. You're trying to still capitalize on some of that popularity. I was telling Simon before we started recording that this was the first book that I checked out from the library. I thought that I uncovered a secret whenever I checked this book out of the library. I checked the entire like full first couple of volumes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, people, there are comic books at the library?
Well, they know there's books with pictures in them.
Yeah, I came in here to go to the bathroom, man. And so I checked out, I think I checked out Exiles Volume 1, and I checked out Kingdom Come. And I had not read Kingdom Come at that point.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, I'm back. Now I'm reading comprehension. Now I have reading comprehension. In 2002, it took me a few years. Now I have reading comprehension. I'm not just looking at the pictures. I'm absorbing these stories. And so I have fond memories of it. We'll see if it holds up. It's kind of the game of the Thick Cut to see these old stories hold up.
Yeah. It's, you know, you just kind of have to figure it out. Like we were saying, the Batman Nightfall does not in any way, shape, or form. And that's not a hot take. If you think that, I'm going to say it now. I'll say it. You don't have to take credit for this.
I'll get in trouble.
If you think that Nightfall is still a good story, you don't understand what comic books are. I don't know.
Or you haven't read it since 1999. Or
yeah. We were discussing. It's like you've got the nostalgia goggles on. So give it another try, and you'll be like, oh yeah, no, they're totally right. Will I always respect things that pave the way for other things and big story beats like that? Absolutely. But it is just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's why I said I didn't want to revisit Age of Apocalypse or any old story like that. It's weird because reading things the second time, I've learned that I pick up on things that I didn't pick up on the first time. So like Spider-Man Life Story, one of our most popular episodes ever, and I love it because it's like a heel turn for us. I loved Spider-Man Life Story the first time I read it, coming out monthly, and then I wanted Simon to read it. And when we were reading it in, you know, collected edition, I was like, oh my God, I don't like this. I wonder what Simon thinks. And then Simon agreed. And so I was like, geez, I'm glad it wasn't just me. But we've got so much backlash from that because I don't think people read things twice, which I don't blame them. I typically don't.
On that vein, and I know that we're running long in the intro here, but on that
vein. Welcome back. Yeah,
I went to a local comic shop Dr. George was with me, and he said they were talking about Life Story, and he was like, yeah, too bad it sucks. And the guy was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's one of the best stories. I was like, in the 60 years that Spider-Man's been around, he hasn't aged or whatever. I was like, yeah, man, because it's stupid. Stupid.
And just because a premise or an idea is good, that doesn't mean the book is good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, that sounds like a good premise of a book. What would Spider-Man really be like if he aged? Mark Bagley's on it, my favorite Spider-Man artist. Oh, man. Let's do it.
It sounds like it's an amazing fever dream.
Let's do it. No, it was terrible, man. It was terrible. But I really hope Exiles is one of my all-time favorite books, so I really hope that. And I was reading through it, and I was like, damn, I hope Simon doesn't hate this.
I have thoughts, but none of them are, like, supremely negative.
All right, so we're going to go. Thick Cut's different, and we're not going to give you guys sort of a preview of what we do with Thick Cut. Thick Cut, we start out, we talk about the cover. We talk about every page, break down what we think about the story. Yeah. Continuing from last time, it's thick.
Yeah, it is an issue per episode, right?
And it's just as long as our regular review. We break it down. But, you know, if you've been around for a while, you know we've gotten okay about about breaking these volumes down.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Exiles, number one, 2002. This synopsis is great because it breaks it down. The Scoop. Hot on the heels of her recent limited series, Blink forms an exciting new team and leaps into her own monthly title. I don't remember Blink being this, like, breakout character in Age of Apocalypse. She was a new character. I remember that. I just don't remember her being a breakout character. But also, I was like, 90s Wolverine, one hand Wolverine, he's sick, man. Like that was me back then.
Yeah.
The story. If you thought the Age of Apocalypse was the end of her story, think again. Following the events of Blink, Clarice finds herself joined together with a mysterious band of heroes on a mysterious world on a mysterious quest. Picking up on the mysterious part yet? Picking up on the mysterious part yet?
Yeah.
That was too much. So who are these characters? What's their connection to the X-Men? And just what is their mission? All we can say is that this series will explore not just X-Men continuity, but the entire Marvel Universe. And each issue will feel like a what-if, except the danger will be all too real. The creators? Pulitzer Prize nominee Judd Winnick. I didn't know that.
MTV Real World?
He wrote MTV Real World. I don't know what Barry Ween is, and I don't know what Pedro and me is.
He but must have been on The Real World, huh?
That's cool. I don't know. I don't know. You got to look that up. The penciler, Mike McCone, which I'm weird about Mike McCone's style because when I'm reading through this, going into issue 5, it switches, and I'm like, oh, I need to go back to that style. He did Secret Society of Superheroes, and then Mark McKenna was the inker on the book. What's the buzz? Let's see what the buzz is in 2002. Hey, it's a popular mutant. Who would have thunk it? Blink here has won over the hearts of fans across the block. And that pull quote is from the famous Wizard magazine. I mean, I loved Wizard magazine so much, man. That was my jam growing up.
Yeah, he was on Real World. I think the first season.
Wow. Wizard magazine and Toy Fair was like my jam.
Yeah, Toy Fair is great. I still have some Wizards.
Oh, me too. I love it so much. Exiles, number one. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to pull it up real quick. But Simon, I want to know first, you never read Exile before, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Just jumping in, man. What'd you think?
Honestly, I don't even, when I was thinking Exiles, I was thinking of a completely different comic book. So when I got into it, seeing the cover that you sent me, I was like, okay, oh boy. Not that it looked terrible, but the little horseman in the back, I was not into.
It could have been better at Bill, man. You wouldn't have known.
Nah, man. Hey, that was one thing I had to just, I almost bought the Diamond Select Beta Ray Bill today, but I looked at it and it looked like a fucking statue, so I didn't buy it.
He's like, thick. He's thick.
It looked real stupid. Anyway, but yeah, I didn't recognize any of these characters. I figured that there was going to be a Mystique slash Nightcrawler slash character in there.
You, hold on. That's false. You know Morph.
Oh, Morph. Man. Morph. Yeah, but I mean, I only know that version because of the toy.
Yeah. 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 Because I remember when I sent it to you, you're like, oh, Morph. And I'm like, hey, this is the best version of Morph. Maybe not 2022 PC Morph, but 2002, yeah. Real world Morph. Now that we learn more about Judd Winnick.
Well, he's very, I have thoughts about that.
I can't wait to
So the. Coming right into like issue one and getting an intro to a lot of these characters, I was like, damn, these costume designs are ridiculous. For the ones that are actually wearing a costume, one,
like a,
I think,
like a superhero suit, yeah.
Yeah, for one, I think it is funny that, and I can't remember her name, I'm so bad with names, with character names, but the Kurt's daughter, what's her
name? Nocturne. Nocturne, yeah. Is her superhero name, but TJ is her alias.
She's wearing like pajamas, and her pajama shirt gets shorter in like every panel.
Like there's a lot of that.
Starts creeping up, but the I can't remember the one, the guy that's one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse,
Thunderbird.
That's right. It's the worst one. Why is he wearing like cargo shorts over his
look, being objective and reviewing this, yes, but like you and I, like when we're talking, if you and I are brainstorming on like creating a comic book universe like that. it's something that we would do.
The character himself, maybe, but cargo shorts over like spandex, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand that.
I agree, but also, I don't hate it.
I do. At least color them like something that's complimentary. They're blue cargo shorts. So Mimic also... very weird. I don't know anything about this character, and he pops up on screen. I'm like, well, he's just the most powerful thing ever. Like, this is
what is I loved Mimic back in the day, but he was such a C-list character, and like in the main, and part of what I love about Exiles is that Mimic in the main 616 is such a write-off character. Like, he's a character way back in the day who seems powerful, but then. And you'll learn about his powers in this, but they kick the shit out of him.
Yeah, and I do love his limitations. Yeah. I think it's cool, like, hearing about what he knows, that what he can do.
It gets cooler. Yeah. But right now, he looks like a dork.
Yeah. He looks major dork. Why is he wearing, like, G.I. Joe Snake Eyes shoes, like
the ninja shoes. Yeah, I don't know why he has ninja shoes.
So the character designs, I'm not a huge fan of. One thing that I noticed, you know, we talk about more if you said this is like the best version. We read the Terrifics last year, and he is one for one Plastic Man. Like, that's all he is.
Well, Plastic Man's one for one him, because this came out in 2002.
Well, Plastic Man has been out for longer, though.
Yeah, but was he the same back in the day?
Yeah, he's always
been. He was more G-Golly and holy smokes back in the day.
Can we watch porn? Like, what is that?
Yeah, okay, so to preface a lot of that, again, this is 2002. This is before the woke agenda got pushed on the main media. No, this is before people started realizing, like, hey, maybe normal people read comic books, not just, like, weird nerds.
Yeah, again, this is when comic books were kind of becoming, like you said, becoming more mainstream because of things like comic book movies, which weren't huge. You know, we had Blade or whatever, but now we've got Spider-Man, one of the most popular characters of all time, on the big screen.
Yeah.
X-Men movies, so.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the best movies.
What do you think about the premise of the story, though? At this point, you see the character designs. You didn't talk about Magnus, though. So I don't know if you really dig Magnus.
I don't dig it, but I'm neutral.
Ruby Quartz body.
Yeah, because he is neutral. He's just a red. There's nothing special about that. As far as the story goes, at this point,
you get sort of like the time broker. I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, something like that.
But you get the time broker, and then he's kind of explaining everything. And you talked about the porn thing. I thought it was cool that they didn't do the Spider-Man, let's do this one more time thing, because this came out in 2002. But I love that they gave a quick, like, oh, this is the universe. Because maybe someone is reading Exiles like you that doesn't know all the alternate universes.
Yeah, I did really like that as well. Because I was like, who the fuck is this? Who is this?
And, you know, like, Morph's story was made up for this, and I loved it. It was like, Morph started out as a new mutant, then he was an X-Men, then he was an Avenger, and then he went back to the X-Men. I love that. Like, you don't need a lot of context. That's cool. Mm-hmm. He's annoying, but it's just like Plastic Man. Plastic Man was part of the Justice League. He's annoying. But he's also an extremely powerful character when you think about their
powers. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It, story-wise, I do love those beats. But we had kind of talked about it off camera, off recording, whatever you want to call it, about how this is kind of like, it's kind of like Quantum Leap. It's kind of like Sliders, you know? So I feel like they were probably in a room pitching that, like, oh, what if we, and in my head, I love that part of it because it's an infinite amount of stories that you can tell, right? Because you're not stuck to everything that they're going to do. They're going to like jump to this new timeline and they'll say what's wrong with it. So in this timeline, you know, so-and-so doesn't happen yet or hasn't happened, or this one thing has changed. You have to make sure that it kind of like time police, kind of like our story. Is that why you?
That's where I got it from.
Straight from here.
That's part of the appeal and what I wanted to bring it to you for. It's like, they could legitimately just throw darts at a board and be like, let's do it. Let's make a story of it. You know, that universe exists somewhere and let's make it happen.
But yeah, they could have like a Wheel of Fortune thing. It's like, okay, we Wolverine, spin the wheel. Yeah, what's the scenario?
Right. He has two claws instead of three.
He has three claws. He's got three sets of claws. One comes out of his wiener.
Yeah, they call him Catman. But I really appreciate that they're already, you feel like Time Broker, and this is maybe just me, but Time Broker explains the story and it's all kind of like too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's obviously more to the story that we don't know about. Like there is a underlying mystery because he's like, oh yeah, you guys feel it right. You guys know you're supposed to be doing this. But like, what's the real story? Why are they really doing this? You know what I mean? What's going on?
Yeah.
Because he also like sort of, he tells them that they're supposed to be like saving the universe, which is a hero's journey. You're going to go on this hero's journey because you guys are heroes, right? And they're like, yeah, maybe. And he's like, well, if that didn't encourage you enough, also, you can't go back to your reality because things have happened so much that if you go back, you're dead. If you go back, you don't exist. If you go back, you suck. And it's like, they're all terrible stories. So it's like, you threaten them to like, well, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're kind of like iffy about it, you got to do it. There's no choice. Like, who knows if that's even true?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So there was like this underlying mystery that I really appreciated.
I will apologize that, which is Thunderbird. Is that right? He must have been coming from somewhere that was wearing the shorts because he's not wearing the shorts through the whole thing. But they don't really, it's not different enough to be like, oh, he was out jogging in his weird.
Maybe he was at home, man, trying to feel normal.
Yeah.
Don't shame him, man.
I don't have a good read on what his powers actually are.
I was wondering what you would think about that.
Because his look completely changes later.
Well, it changes like multiple times with no explanation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until kind of in the fifth issue that you read, they kind of explain it. about him being like the war horseman and him going to like berserk battle mode or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
This issue is cool though, because what I do like, as far as, you know, we talked about this story and how it establishes these weird scenarios for whatever issue it is, whatever the particular thing they're trying to fix. And I love that in this one, they go to set that up. They have a character that's so endearing. He's always like the leader. He's a good guy, this, that, and the other. And he's like bad. Like immediately you realize that he's like not immediately, but once they kind of think they're broken this guy out and he's going to lead this resistance, whatever, whatever. He is like a bad guy, which I think is pretty cool.
And maybe we should say that this issue is long. It's like a longer first issue. It's like 40 pages about. So we get the intro. It happens really fast. I don't have a problem with the pacing. I actually like that. It just, the way that it moved sets up the mystery of like, what's really going on? You know what I mean? Because it just like happens so fast. And he's like, well, and his explanation of like who he is, I'm like, well, who are you? And he's like, well, it's like some bullshit explanation. He's like, I'm technically your combined consciousness. I show up from time to time. That's bullshit. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But they have no idea what's going on. So it's like, I guess. And then they're dropped into this world. And it's just like Sliders. Like you said, like, every world is vaguely familiar. The only person that doesn't have any context on like the world is Blink, because she comes from the Age of Apocalypse, which is just all terrible all the time.
terrible all the time.
But the rest of them have sort of like a general like, oh yeah, this is similar enough to our world.
Yeah. She doesn't even know
anybody.
As we get to in the later issues, like she doesn't even know major characters of the Marvel universe. So,
or like, because it's an X-Men book. She doesn't even know Professor Xavier, because Age of Apocalypse starts off with him getting killed. So it's like, she doesn't even know who he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they, you know, like you said, the character that Simon's talking about was Xavier. He's the, you know, the Talos gives them missions every time they go to a new world. And it's very vague and annoying. And I love it. It's like a riddle.
That's where it's like Quantum Leap, because it's like, I just recently watched the Always Sunny episode, so I've never seen Quantum Leap, by the way. So
I love Quantum Leap.
I just saw the Always Sunny episode where they Quantum Leap. But it's basically like there are rules or there's some kind of scenario they need to fix, and they don't know what it is yet, and they just get a vague hint of what they might need to be doing.
And I like that the Time Brothers like, the Talos will let you know as best as it can. And Calvin's like, what? The best that he can. He's like, yeah, it's a probability thing. Like, just, yeah, you'll figure it out.
There's an infinite amount of realities it thinks that it might be in one of these.
Yeah, so they break. So the Talos basically tells them when they're in this universe, like, find the one who leads you or teaches you or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so they're all, Blink has no idea. I love that about her character. Such a perfect character to put into this scenario. The rest of them are like, Xavier, instantly. Let's go find Xavier. When they find him, he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's like, he uses his abilities in the worst way possible. He's like, he brain blasts him, essentially.
And yeah.
That just continues on.
And he's like, not even, but it's not even just that. It's not like he brain blasts him and then walks off. He talks like crazy shit the entire time. He's like, I read all of your minds. I know what you guys are doing here. I know what's going on. There's no way I would ever be that person, Charles Xavier. Like, that guy's a fucking pussy. I'm gonna kill all the people. I would never work with any of you guys. I'm not gonna kill you because you're mutants, but I'm gonna go set the world on fire. And I love that about it. It's like total opposite of like, and we'll talk about the next issue. We get Magneto, but they're like completely changed. Flip.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, that's not a new idea, but it is, you expect, because he looks so helpless and he's like chained up in this issue, he's like in this machinery that you think like, oh, obviously he's oppressed.
Yeah. And they you know, like you said, it's not a new idea. They in the most recent run of Exiles, they even do a similar thing with like an evil Xavier.
Mm.
Issue one. Wow. What are you thinking so far?
So far, I mean, like I said, I like the premise. I'm not a huge fan of the characters. I know nothing about any of them. But
yeah. It's kind of got a Game of Thrones vibe. You don't maybe not know that now, but
well, they do mention that like it's all real. So if they die here, they die forever. Like
yeah.
They're dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If they die, they die forever. If they fail the mission, they go back to where they came.
Yeah, and in the cases like
except for Blink.
Yeah, Blink, she doesn't exist in her reality anymore. So if they go back to where they came, she just poofs out of existence. So
yeah, because with Blink specifically, she shows up in this sort of pocket universe at the end of Age of Apocalypse where they fix everything. So
it
doesn't exist anymore.
Gotcha. Yeah, so far, like I said, it is of its time. The one thing, it almost feels like the bag cereal. And let me explain myself. Like, okay, when I say the bag cereal is very close to things that you love. So it's like you got your Lucky Charms, which are like your Happy Mallows or whatever. You know, these fake-ass names.
Yeah.
Your favorite cereals. And so you've got all these characters that are basically what you like.
Yeah.
You know, but not really. So it kind of, it's like, I don't know this guy. It was like it's like the 2099 universe where it's like, oh, I love this, but I don't know if I like this.
I think when I first read it, I felt the same way because I didn't really like, I know who Mimic is, but like, I don't give a shit about this character. And I think that's a good opportunity, though.
Yeah.
To like build on these characters, make you care about them, but they could also kill them because they're not really like, it's not like Wolverine is on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 616 Wolverine's not on the team. He's dead. He's gone forever. It's like, they kind of have that Game of Thrones vibe where they could just kill off the characters because who really gives a fuck about these characters?
Yeah, if they're going to have a main named character on here, like Morph, you know, like, I don't know. But like a main character.
Yeah.
It's not 616 main character. It is
yeah,
like,
it's a version of a character from another universe. Yeah. Yeah, because even in the, when we'll talk about it in a further issue in a little bit, when they go to a classic X-Men story, Trial of the Phoenix, it's not the 616 Trial of the Phoenix. It's like, it's in a universe that moved slower than the main universe.
Which is, I think is a, that's a cool, yeah, it's a cool explanation because they're like, do we, anyway, we'll get to it. But
yeah.
Okay. Exiles number two. Blink and the Exiles must save the world? But at what cost?
So all question marks.
Yeah. Who will cross the line and which exile will be cut by it? The team attempts to complete their first mission, but tragedy lies ahead. Tragedy for a character we don't care about yet because we're one issue in. I did notice that issue one, and I never look at the page count. I was like, God, this one's lasting a long time.
Well, I didn't notice that it lasts a long time. I noticed that like the other ones were going really fast.
Yeah.
I got through issue one and I was like, okay, whatever, that's fine. And then when I was at issue two, I was like, oh, damn, that was really fast compared, you know, to what we did.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It didn't feel like it was dragging or anything. But it, so what I think is really crazy about this issue is seeing Charles Xavier be so bad. And when I say that, you know, he has these, he's like an Omega level mutant, right? And the fact that he's going around and just scrambling people's brains, like,
entire cities.
Yeah, like just a city walking in and people are just like comatose or stroking out or whatever. That's so crazy to me. And that's scary. That's scary to just be sitting in your house and you have a stroke. You know what I'm saying?
Or driving your car.
Well, I mean, and of course that shit happens to people every day. So yes, yeah. I'm scared of mortality. But what I'm saying is like the fact that you're all, the whole, everybody in your house, that happens to them at the same time.
Yeah. You could be in a restaurant. Let's just frame it like that. You could be in a restaurant eating and then everyone has a stroke. I do like that though. I like that the pacing in this is so fast.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that the premise of the book is that they're reality hopping. So we're not spending 12 issues in one universe. We got a mission. We're going to do it. If we you know, whatever, we go on to the next one. And so we get the first mission in issue one, we finish it in issue two. I like that. And so I like that Xavier is just rolling through. Like, he goes and frees his stepbrother. Juggernaut looks fucking ridiculous.
Triple H, man.
It looks ridiculous. We also learned that Forge is the reason, like, he sold out the entire mutant superior race. Terrible dude, man.
Hey, you know what? A lot of people are complaining about Jessica Drew being black. There she is.
There she is. Back black. In the day.
Yeah.
Shut back up. In the day. She had these weird bug horns, but... there she was back in the day.
Oh, I thought they were just braids. Yeah, I see that they're like antenna or something.
Shout out to Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Is he a mutant? Sure.
Oh, maybe.
He's mutated.
We got the guy that was in X-Force, right? Or what? What was that?
Generation X.
That's it.
Yeah, Chamber. Yeah. Chamber. What a weird character. I love that. Morph is annoying. Just like when we read Terrifics. I love Terrifics. If you know me, one of my favorite DC books of all time. Plastic Man is annoying as hell in that. But yeah. If you, like, that's his character, though. So, like, him being annoying is just him being his character. Morph is super annoying in this book.
Yeah, it's very, yep.
But he's also, like, crazy powerful. And so I like that we talked about Mimics. We haven't really talked about Mimics' weaknesses, but, like, Morph being super powerful, but being hindered because he's immature and, like, silly is funny to me. Because it's not so much as, like, he's just a changeling like Mystique. He doesn't just change form. Later on, I mean, 50 issues in, you see him beef up like the Hulk, but have the strength of, like, someone that beefs up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he, in the first issue, he gets real big, and he's like, going around knocking a lot of people out. Yeah. He's basically, he mentions he doesn't have bone. He's like jello, like he's moldable.
So it's not like he's just like changes forms. He's legitimately like a powerful character. Mm-hmm. And I love that he's so annoying and silly that that is a weakness of his almost.
Yeah.
If you were going to kill off a character, who would it be? Let's just, I want to ask you that.
And to this... if I was going to kill off a character right now, it'd be this fucker that dies.
Magnus. He has no lines in the entire first two issues.
The one thing, and he's too powerful. Yeah. That's the thing, is he is a Deus Ex Machina. Like, they need to find Charles Xavier.
Yeah, he's and Rogue the, and Magneto, two of the most powerful X-Men.
Well, and he just kind of creates things, right? So
yeah, he creates Cerebro. What? He's like, I can make Cerebro, but I need someone that has psychic abilities. And both the characters are like, yeah, we kind of have psychic abilities. And he's like, I'll make up the difference. It's just like, yeah. What?
Yeah, man, it's a lot. But yeah, it, not only that, but he is so plain Jane too, man. He's like,
yeah. He didn't even give us one sugar. We didn't get one.
Sugar. It is kind of crazy. It's kind of gross that, like, when you think about the age difference between Rogue and
Age of Apocalypse, yeah. It's weird. The relationship's weird, man.
Mm. But yeah, the reason he dies is really insane, because they were just going to, they had all the heroes in one area in this prison, and they're just going to blow it up with an A-bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like the writers knew exactly what we're talking about. No one gives a shit. In the second issue, no one gives a shit about Magnus. No one really gives a shit about any of these characters, but least of all, Magnus. And so, I think it's very clever that they made it to where it's like, Magneto was there. Magneto, quote-unquote, was the hope. This is Magneto's son. Like, I just feel like that's a clever addition to it. Like, it adds a layer of emotion. Like, you don't need a lot. We don't need a lot of emotion. It's only two issues, whatever. But it adds a little bit more of a care for Magnus than it just being a random person that sacrifices himself.
Yes. I will say that I was worried that he was, as the leader that they needed to find, as the, you know, the little robot thing told her to find a leader. And I was like, oh shit. So they just traded off one for the other. Like, I thought Magneto was going to travel with them, but I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. He stayed behind. But And they even, like, it added just an extra layer of emotion, you know, because he's like, hey, don't tell him that I was related to, like, heroic moment.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, served its purpose. No one gives a shit about Magnus. He's dead now. I thought it was cool. Another little extra layer. He's like, I'll sacrifice myself. I'll absorb the bomb or encase the bomb or whatever. And then he's like, because in his head, he's like, oh, I just dismantled the bomb. Honestly, I can control all back, you know, magnetism. And then he gets there and he's like, oh, it's all plastic bomb.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like an extra layer of like, they're really stacking this character up right before his death, which I appreciated. Like mini stacks, not like a huge thing.
Mini stacks.
They gave him a little bit of depth.
I do think it's funny. I'm not sure if that's Morlock, whatever. And here, all the people that are gathered here that he saved.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if that's more. But also, there's a Hulk right there, and she doesn't say, like, oh, that was like that green guy that was in.
That's like She-Hulk, right?
Well, there's She-Hulk, but I mean, at the end panel, once he's rescued them all, when they're like on the beach, there's a Hulk there.
Oh, wow, there's a Hulk. There's a thing. Namor, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right. But I feel like the only thing that sucked to me is like, Magneto shows up at the end, but they don't even show him up until the end. Like, we get no dialogue for him, but he's just like, was I related to that man? That's kind of cool. Why would you just automatically assume that you were related to that dude?
Yeah, it's like, it's some kind of connection. It's like, yeah, man, I guess.
Also, Mimic, we're getting a little bit more Calvin character development. He's torn, like, battling Xavier because Xavier is, like, his mentor, typical Xavier stuff. And Xavier is a shit talker, which I love so much. He's like, bitch, if you were really my son, you would be with me. You would, you know, you would see what I'm doing. And then he stabs him. I don't know if he stabs him with like psionic claws or his real claws.
No, man, his real claws. Yeah.
He fucking stabs him in the head.
Yeah, they didn't show it, but he puts him underneath his jaw, which I think
classic. Classic.
Pretty cool move. Yeah, pretty cool move. I mean,
Wolverine never does it. Wolverine always bluffs. He always does the outside claws and then, like, teases the middle one. He always dangles the cheek.
Cool, yeah. Super cool, though. I mean, that's a cool move.
Yeah. And Magnus is so powerful that he encases all of the prisoners in the camp and then shoots them away to safety and then controls an atom bomb. That guy needed to die.
Yeah. He was going to make the rest of this way too easy.
Yeah.
But I will say that was a shocking moment, and I agree with the way Morph, you know, puts it up. It's like Magnus dies and then poop, there's somebody else. There's
He's like, yo, hey, the Time Broker told me I'm the new recruit.
And since it happened in this issue, I'll bring it up. And I know, and I'm saying, like, I know that they kind of explain it, but she does not get the background. The rest of them in the first issue get this like video kind of breaking down who they are.
At least a few panels. Yeah, at least a few panels. Half a page or a full page.
And she kind of is talking to Morph as we get into the third issue. We'll get back into it. But she's just talking to Morph about where she came from. So in this issue, she's just there. I don't know who this character is. So
I don't either. She just pops up.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Sunfire, I thought was a man.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't fucking know who this is. Who cares? Like, I guess you're next on the chopping block because I don't care about you either.
I feel like, and when I was reading this, I was like, I feel like I should know this name. But I don't. That's the thing. And I think it's okay that I don't.
Yeah. Like I said, I understood Sunfire. I was like, I'm pretty sure I understood that. But that's it.
Exiles issue number 3. Reeling from the last issue's tragedy. The Exiles must take part in one of the most infamous moments in X-Men history, the Trial of Phoenix. But this time, it's the Exiles who are the bad guys. Hey, maybe that's why Wolverine's so mad. All of this, plus a new member joins Blink's band. Oh, I could have did it. Blink's band of reality-hopping mutants. I could have did it in one shot. I don't know why. I second-guessed myself. Yeah. So yeah, they. I love that. I love that it's like no chance to like be sad.
Yeah, they don't grieve at all.
Well, yeah, they should grieve a little bit. And we get a little bit of that maybe. But I love that it's not like a full issue of them being in that same universe. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I love that it's just like,
that's yeah, to them, it's
the Time Broker is just like pushing them through.
Yeah, it's just a blip to them.
Yeah, and they didn't, like you said, they didn't really know that guy. Like, we spent a couple hours together, but he's dead.
Yeah, it's no fun watching somebody blow up from an atomic bomb. But so issue three, I will say, I know that this cover motif
is so cool.
It's overdone, but it is cool. Like, this is a really well done cover.
It's overdone, but I feel like it's this one is a little different. Usually it's just like his one hand up with a reflection. I've never seen it done like this.
Yeah, it's cool. That's a good cover.
That's a good cover, man.
Good job. We like Wolverine.
You know, okay. I thought about this the other day. I think I was playing Midnight Suns, and I got to the halfway. You don't get Wolverine until the halfway point. And I got Wolverine, and I'm just like, oh, man. So badass in this game. Like, you get him at the halfway point for a reason, because he's so badass. And Wolverine, in my opinion, is like Batman. He's like in every book.
Yeah.
He's multiple titles. He's overdone. And so I sort of talk about him the same way I talk about Batman. Like, oh, man, he's just all over the place. But I really do like Wolverine.
So that's one thing I'll come clean now, is I really like Wolverine.
Yeah, that's what I came to a realization. I was just like, and it's like, it's the Wolverine that we talk about. He has like the, not the skinny, gross pole claws. He has like the thick claws.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, damn.
That's the thing. It's like, I like a particular type of Wolverine. He's got to be short. He's got to be gruff. I don't like him too sentimental. Yeah, I like him hairy. I like the like knife claws, not just like the spike, you know. But I have a lot of Wolverines. Like, I have a shit ton of Wolverines in my collection.
And I used to play with him in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I loved his character.
Berserker Barrage.
Yeah.
So I dig Wolverine a lot. So I was thinking about that. I was like, man, I talk shit on Wolverine. Same. Because he's overused.
Yeah.
But I dig him. Like, I like Wolverine.
I do.
The difference between, and just to go on a tangent here, as we're known to do, the difference between Wolverine and Batman to me is, when I think about Wolverine, I think like, in this world of mutants, he has powers. Like, that's just his characterization. I don't like that. Like, he has extra sensory perception with his smells. You know, what I like about Wolverine is he's got a healing factor and he's got claws. That's what I like about him. It's weird to me that he can smell people from a mile away. Why does that make sense? That's not one of his powers. That doesn't make sense.
That's a little weird. Like, him being able to track is cool, but like, him being able,
in the traditional sense, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, he was raised by wolves, so he can track and all that stuff. That's cool. But like, I get what you're saying. Like, in this, he's like,
it's like another
power. You shouldn't even have put that. Whatever spunk that alien spunk, because I can smell through it. It's just like, yeah, that's a whole different power.
Okay.
When we create our book, we just have a dude that just has hypersensitive.
Yeah,
no other just power, smell. Smell, and he can hear it really well. He's just like, because he does that later on,
but he just like screams and he's like, God, everything stinks and it smells bad.
I don't know if it was issue five, but he does the same thing. He talks to Nocturne and he's like, so I don't know you, but you know me since you were a kid. So, you know, whispering doesn't, I can hear anything. It's just like,
can you?
You're like omnipresent at this point.
Well, actually, that kind of makes sense. As someone who can continuously regenerate, you would think that his eardrums have never experienced any loss. So that kind of makes sense. I guess smell, I don't know. The thing is, why I brought it up is because Batman. So I saw somebody on TikTok bring this up. Batman has no power. He's just a rich guy.
I was just about to say this.
So the reason I like Batman, or the way that I like Batman, is like Detective Batman. Like, yeah, he can be good at martial arts, but he's based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
But also he's goofy because he's a guy that dressed up like a bat, right?
Yeah.
That's weird. And he has a cape, which is also weird. Like, if you really think about it.
Yeah, if he's like a ninja, there's no reason.
Yeah, if you think about it too much, like Batman is really stupid, is what I'm getting at. But
what do you think about this? In the current Detective Comics, this was two issues ago.
Well, hold on before you get that.
Batman fall. Batman falls from outer space.
Yeah, that's what I was about to talk about. That's exactly what I was about to talk about. And somebody on TikTok was like, "And that's how badass Batman is." And I was like, "No, that's fucking ridiculous."
Yeah, that's ridiculous. He re-enters the atmosphere. What's this stupid bat wings up? And he falls into the snow and he gets up and he's just like, "I'm ready to fight." He would be in a coma for the rest of his life.
And that's okay. Put him in a coma at least.
Yeah, if he lived. For a he should just while. Be like fucking meat wad. That's what he should be. Just some ashes in the ground.
That's not even the worst of it, okay?
Just have this Superman save him.
This tangent is going really long. But it is. The fact that he like finds a satellite or something and he's like using the boosters to get him. He can't go too fast. He can't go too slow to get to the atmosphere where he wraps up in his cape, which has like fucking ceramic panels on it, apparently. Like
and then at the right time.
That's what got me.
Michael Keaton's like,
yeah, you know what? If you have a fireproof safe, sometimes the shit inside still burns because of the air temperature.
Yeah, and sometimes the safe still burns. Also. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, wrapping yourself up in a cape.
I would be more interested in Batman if they at least gave him a healing factor, like Wolverine.
Yeah, why not? You know, give him some powers. I don't care.
Something. Like a mild something. It would make more sense.
Because, the fact that he's just a dude makes it worse. Every time I read something like that, I'm like, I can't read this. This is stupid.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, if Superman saved him, like, yeah, he's going into the atmosphere. Yeah, it's unrealistic, but Superman saves him.
That's fine. Yeah, fuck it. Also, I saw the end thing where this person was just all about it. This TikTok creator was all about it. They were just like jerking off on their screen because they were like, and then he goes in and Robin's like, "Hey, are you okay?" And he's like, "Been better," or something like some smart ass. I can't remember what he says. Like long fall or something stupid.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's okay, man. He doesn't have to be all things to all people.
He didn't throw up. I imagine that he would at the very least would have thrown up.
Yeah, something.
Like, holy shit, I'm still alive.
An ounce of humanity.
Yeah. For the human.
Anyway, so
back to the exiles.
Yeah.
The trial of Phoenix is a big deal. It was when she first started manifesting her Phoenix powers, and the Shi'ar were like, "Oh, she murdered Planet, pretty much." And I love that you may not have a lot of context on that old-ass story, right? But they talk about it in this, what happened. Like, Calvin talks to TJ, and they're like, "Oh, we were here." And TJ's like, "Oh, yeah, I learned about this." And Morph is also like, "Yeah, we were all part of this."
Yeah, this is history.
Yeah. She's not really there. Sinister cloned her. It's Madeline Pryor. The real Jean Grey's at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I didn't know about the Goblin Queen. I know that she was... I did not know about this character other than she was a bonus if the Hellcharger had gone through.
Oof. Yeah, so Madeline Pryor actually is a side tangent. Not even going to talk about it. But there's a Spider-Man event right now going on called The Dark Web.
And yeah, I saw some of those on the shelf.
She's teamed up with Ben Reilly, who is a bad guy now, because they're both clones. And she's the Goblin Queen.
You got to find one thing in common with someone to just live your life by.
And they made him Baja Blast Spider-Man because he's like turquoise. And
oh, that's him? That's
Ben Reilly? Yeah, that's Ben
Reilly. I've seen that tweet. I didn't know that was Ben Reilly.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it so much. But yeah, and this, they're like, "Oh, yeah, she's at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean." And then Blink's like, "Hey, my job is to rain on your parade." She's not in this universe. That's actually her. She's going to kill everybody. She's going to end everything.
Yeah, this isn't her realizing that she's not bad or whatever. This is the actual...
Come to find out, and I knew it, Calvin was in love with her. Everybody loves G.D. Jean Grey. Everybody is in love with her.
That red hair, man.
Jesus. Like Mary Jane, man. Everybody loves the redhead.
Have you seen a redhead in person? I mean, Nicole's got red hair, and obviously I'm in love with her. But She's got like slight red hair, but there's
there's a few.
I mean,
Sansa.
Huh?
Sansa Stark. She's redheaded.
Well, there's. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, there's. This, I work with a couple of redheads at work, and I'm like, oh, why is everybody obsessed with redheads? Because these ladies ain't doing it.
If you're a redhead and you're listening, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure you're very attractive. Anyway,
what do you? So they very. Just happenstance. So, like, how are we gonna, you know, infiltrate this trial? And they go to Leandra, and they're like, "Oh, hey, she blew up our planet too. So we're here. We want to partake in the trial." And they like alter their appearances. Blink can just look like Blink because she doesn't exist. I love that Morph looks like a disgusting Superman.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, with the super low cut V. I thought it was kind of funny. I'm terrible at remembering things, but the machine that Blink wears on her arm, it's really interesting that, you know, they don't believe her, and it's like, no man, I'm gonna make you believe, and it actually like reaches out for them to see the reality or the future, which I think is a cool feature.
Yeah, because it only talks to her typically, but they were so against her with this because they all love Jean Grey. They're like, no, we're not doing this. We're not killing her, because that's essentially what they say. You got to kill Jean Grey, because that's what happens in the story. Well, in the main story, Jean Grey kills herself. But in this, they're like, you got to make sure she dies.
Yeah.
I love these sort of slice of life moments that happen in this book. It happens in the first issue where they're like at a hotel and they're like recuperating from getting brain blasted. Mm-hmm. And in this, they have sort of a slice of life moment. And in the next issue, or in the Hulk issue, they've been there for like 2 weeks or whatever, and they have sort of these like normal moments where they're just existing. Yeah. I really like that, man.
I enjoy that too. It's like, it would be more interesting to see a superhero movie if you saw them pee or poop.
Yeah. This adds a little bit of depth without having to do really anything.
This is the first time that we see Thunderbird like in this weird war horseman form. And this is when I was like backtracking issues. I'm like, was I just not paying attention?
Did he always look like this wearing shorts?
Yeah. But not only that, he gets like the extra, he gets like a dog leg, you know?
Yeah, like the goat man look.
Yeah, he's missing a nose. He gets a little bit bigger. I was like, what is happening?
I think my problem with it, and I agree with it, he just looks different every time.
Yeah, no consistency. Is this a Rob Liefeld book?
Yeah, don't know. I wouldn't read that.
He's got those small feet.
Yeah, and they're covered by rock.
But yeah, that was confusing to me because there's no explanation. They say that they need to look different so that they can convince that they are Shi'ar, whatever.
Yeah.
But they don't explain him at all.
Never. They never do until the fifth issue.
Yeah.
More slice of life stuff. I love it. And they're like, yo, before that, they're like, we got to rub this dirt on. We got to rub this alien stuff on us, mushrooms and stuff, because Wolverine's here. And the people that he does know, he'll be able to sniff out. So they think they got him tricked. Sure enough, he's Wolverine, dog. He pops up. He knows Calvin. Mimic is a character in the main universe. He is. So he's like, yo, damn, why are you here, man? What? You're here to show some support? Hell yeah, let's do it. But he's confused. Like, why aren't you... Like, why did you pretend to be something that you're not?
Yeah, because at this point in his reality, he's part of the Defenders, he says.
Yeah, and I love I love how closely all these universes are the same, though. Because Mimic is saying, oh, I'm part of the Defenders right now. And then Wolverine is like, aren't you supposed to be with Iceman and the Defenders? So it's like, they're not the same universe, but it's so close that it works. All of that aside, all great stuff, all great exposition. But I love, my main thing is I love Wolverine suit.
Yeah, and yeah, mostly.
I love the X. I love that's not just like a straight up X. It's random. I like it.
I don't hate it. I don't like that it doesn't have a belt to go with it.
Yeah, I don't like that it's just like a line across. You're right.
I wish that, you know, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like a circle on his abdomen, which is odd. I need a belt with it, but otherwise, yes, it's fine.
And then Mimic's powers are so cool, but also, like, we don't know a lot about him right now, because then he just goes full Colossus mode.
Yeah, it is interesting. He mentions, obviously, that adamantium is stronger than this.
Yeah.
And he says he only has half strength. So a lot of this, he's like, I've got to stay in this form or I'll bleed to death.
Yeah. And he has like beast agility and like the gymnast abilities.
Yeah. I don't know if I would keep that one. Nah. If I were going to focus on a
five, if I only had to have five, nah, dog.
Yeah. If you can, what if one day he learned how to dance just because he wanted to learn how to dance? Does that take up one of the five slots?
Yes. Yes. And he was like, well,
I want a pop and lock. Does that take up one of the five?
I can't go into beast acrobatics when I weigh this much. And I was like, then why would you do that? You're hindering yourself. Why not find a mutant that has like anti-gravity abilities and like just use that?
It is. Well, I do find it interesting that they gave him these like very specific limitations.
Yeah. Well, because when Mimic showed up back in the old days, he had the powers of the five first X-Men. Like, that was it. That it was
like Beast, Iceman, Beast,
Iceman, and Angel, Cyclops, and Jean Grey. But it was also, like you learn, is half of their abilities.
Yeah.
And they even had an extra layer of, like, a hindrance in this, because he's like, yeah, I can absorb, and this is maybe in the next issue, but he's like, yeah, I can learn those things, but if I don't have practice, it's stupid. Or this is maybe the fifth issue. He's like,
that's later. Way later.
He's like, I can learn fire powers, but that's insane for me to just catch on fire.
Yeah. He mentions, like, he's like, some powers, sure, I could learn, but like teleportation and like
stupid
shit like that, that's just dumb. Like, I'm just,
why would I do that?
I do think it's kind of funny. Like, of all things, again, to bring it back up, you could just learn to be agile. Like, you don't need that superpower. That, honestly, it's kind of a stupid superpower.
Yeah.
To be just agile. So, real quick, if you had five, just on a tangent, if you had to pick five mutants to pick a power, learn. I feel like it's pretty easy.
This is good. This is good. This is good. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
I'm going Wolverine, without a doubt.
Easy.
The Infector is insane.
Yeah.
I'm going Iceman. Again, I feel like that's an insane power. A lot of people are going to go for psychic abilities. Like, I don't need this. This is hard. This is not easy. This is harder. This is harder than you. I'm going.
When you get to three, once you get past three, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, I'm getting Wolverine. I'm getting Healing Factor. I mean, maybe. I think Angel sucks because he has wings. Like, when he learns Northstar's ability later, yeah, that's cool. Flying would be cool.
Yeah, of some sort.
I don't need five power. And that's my thing. That's my problem. Is like, maybe that's why he has beast acrobatics, because he doesn't need five powers. You know?
Yeah, I think it would be like, if I like that.
What's your five?
It would be Wolverine, Colossus, maybe either, it would be flight or teleportation. So either I would pick someone who flies, like you said, that has another power on top of that. So if he's learning Phoenix Force, he could also learn to fly from Phoenix Force.
Like, telekinesis or something like that.
But then it would be like magnetism, which also could make you fly. And then probably, I don't know, I'd probably do like telekinesis, Wolverine. So like Wolverine, Colossus, Jean Grey, Magneto. Just because I can do anything. And then maybe, I can't remember, but the guy that's like a technomorph.
Yeah. Not Warlock.
Maybe Warlock. Or Forge.
Forge. I got it. It's easier when I pick names instead of like thinking grand scheme powers. Wolverine. Iceman. Give me Quicksilver.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Shadowcat. Right?
Shadowcat.
Kitty Pryde. Phasing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, yes, 100%.
Storm.
Okay, yeah, that's solid. That's fucking solid.
This is not even fair to the conversation, but I'm thinking about, like, real world terms. Like, like, not fighting supervillains, anything like that. I'm thinking, like, what could I do in practicality of my life?
Well, that's why I thought about technopathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you could just do anything.
That's one of my favorite powers. In fact, in our book that we created. Excuse me. My personal character's powers. It's technopathy.
Yeah, it's cool. Very useful.
Back to the world. Morph is a pervert. Straight up, like, early 2000s, 90s pervert.
I do like that he, in this, like, hot tub that they're in, though, he's dressed like a 20s man. Like, he's wearing, like, a full bathing suit.
I want one of those.
Like, an actual striped bathing suit, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I want one of those. And he has, like, the stupid hat on, like, the old school quartet hat.
He is a pervert, but he acts so, like, shy in some instances like this. Like, she gets kind of close to him, and he's like, ugh, you know?
Yeah. He's like, maybe in his world, people don't see him like that, but he obviously knows about everything. So, like, her character in his universe is dating Wolverine, so he's like, oh, yeah, you guys are knocking boots.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, a babe sitting next to him, so he's just like, ugh. Is this my chance? Dude, don't waste it, man. It's like this weird self-conscious thing that he has going on.
It's funny that she just happened to have a bathing suit also.
Yeah, it's terrible. The fight, Wolverine versus Mimic, is a good fight.
It is. And I will say that I feel like he probably could have played along and then come up with a contingency plan to take out Wolverine rather than actually just punch him.
The conversation went from like, hey man, you're here to help Jean, we'll take all the help we can get. I thought you were with Iceman, and then Colossus punched to the head.
Yeah.
He did reference like adamantium stronger than what I can do. And so you see Wolverine like impale him and like chop his wing. You see him like cut him up. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, he even breaks his claws at one point.
Yeah. Because he has his fucking bone claws. Why would you? It's gross.
Well, what I do find interesting is he has bone claws, but he also has Colossus powers right now. So they're like a little of both. Not adamantium, but
yeah.
I think it's funny. You can tell it's a good fight because Wolverine's butt is coming out of his pants. He's getting all kinds of cut up, real hairy.
I think what makes it a good fight is the dialogue. Calvin is explaining, like, Wolverine is my best friend on my planet, or like in my universe. If I was going to get married, he'd be my best man. He knows everything about me. It's like, this is hard for me to fight him. But I also know him so well that if I don't fight him, he's not going to let me kill Jean. I need to kill Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to knock him out. It's the only way. And then even like later on, as the fight progresses, he's like, if I don't knock him out right now, he's going to kill me. Like, he knows that Wolverine's berserker instinct is kicked over. Yeah. Even after the first punch, he's like, it doesn't matter anymore. He's like, he's going to kill me. I need to fight him straight up.
It is a good fight. But the funny thing is, like, when we get into the next issue, we see that there was probably a better way to do that.
Yeah, where'd that power come from? We'll talk about that. But he beats Wolverine.
He does. Yeah, he knocks him out.
Knocks him out.
Which is, I feel like Wolverine shouldn't be able to be knocked out for more than like 3 seconds.
Ever. I would give him a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes tops.
Like, if you broke his neck.
So in this instance, he should have been up because like he knocked him out. Calvin sat down, T-Bird and Nocturne walk up and he's like, I can use beer. Wolverine should be like, well, I'm up now, bitch. Yeah. I'm healed.
Yeah.
Issue number 4. Take it away, man.
The trial of the Phoenix continues. The team can either save the universe or save a friend. So either way, the Exiles lose. What chance will Blink and her band make? And will the end result be worse than they could ever imagine? Find out in part 2 of Old Wounds, New Battles.
I love that. I love that these mini sagas are titled because one of my favorite things about the animated Spider-Man series was that maybe a lot of people don't even realize this, but like at the beginning of each episode, there was like a title for the saga. Yeah, yeah.
And Spider-Slayers part 3.
Oh my God, I loved it so much. And that's like a very comic booky thing. So I appreciate that they carry this over.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of volume 1. You get 2 sort of adventures. Let's talk about it. The cover is great, first of all. And this is sort of what we do in Thick Cut. We break down cover first. And then we really deep dive into it. The cover is a classic cover where it's supposed to be Cyclops and Jean Grey.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a cool callback.
Yeah, and so it's a cool callback because Calvin has his Digimon goggles that he uses.
I will say, man, that his right hand looks funky as hell, but otherwise, great cover.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like it was added afterwards.
Bunch of hot dogs.
As you mentioned, there may have been an easier way than that. The fight was cool. Wolverine doesn't get tested a lot. It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
But also, we don't know what's going on. Wolverine's back. Calvin says he's going to be out for a little bit in the last issue, but now he's back. He's telling Xavier he doesn't know what happened. So I'm thinking, like, Wolverine's going to heal up and then go hunting them himself. He just doesn't want Charles and them involved, right? That's what I thought was happening.
Hmm. Yeah.
Then I see the yellow eyes. Maybe not. We see a power that we did not know happened. And I really hope that this doesn't continue to happen.
Yeah, this is the opposite of like a creature of the week. It's like power of the week.
Yeah, I hope it's not like, I have a power, just what we need.
Uh-huh.
You know, is it cool? And we learn, this issue is really good because we get a little bit more context on Nocturne, mm-hmm. which makes it a little okay. But I just hope that's not a continuing thing. Like, yeah. I hope we don't get a Spider-Man variant, and then it's like, oh, but I also am a ghost. Like, it's not just like a random.
I'm a ghost spider.
Yeah, it's not just like a continuing thing. Nocturne can take over people's bodies, which is fucking cool, man. It's a cool power.
It's an interesting power, and I do like that she still doesn't know the limits of it because it's so ethically like shady, you know.
And like her origin and like her dad's origin are so strange, right? It's really hard to pinpoint. So when Blink is like, how long can you do that? And she's like, I don't know, 12 hours, lunar cycle. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Oh, no, that was funny.
Yeah, that was I think it's great that she was like, I know that I can do it.
Yeah.
But I don't really do it a lot. In my mind, that's what she's saying, is because it's like,
it's kind of sketchy. Yeah. And I love Nocturne as a character because she's growing up in an era that, like, the X-Men went through all the hard shit already. Like, all the crazy wars and stuff that they did. Now Xavier's gone. Nightcrawler and Wolverine are leaving the school. And so she's growing up in a mutant-friendly era. She says she loves her life. You know what I mean? Like, she loves every minute of her life. And so you kind of get that. She doesn't have the angst that other mutants have.
Yeah, she hadn't been scared off from voting or hit with any water hoses or anything.
Yeah. So in the trial of, I don't remember the trial that much, but apparently they have the opportunity to kill the Phoenix in like a war setting. Or kill Jean Grey war setting.
It's like a, what am I trying to say? It's like a, fuck.
Like a manhunt, or like,
well, it's like in Game of Thrones, they talk a trial by fire or battle or whatever. Trial by combat.
Yeah, you're right. And they have like everybody that she has hurt in this like playing field. They all have, they all can get a crack at her, and the X-Men in that universe are protecting her.
I think it's funny that she's got the old costume on.
Yeah, the Mary Marvel or the Marvel girl costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's weird is that in 2020, in like the Hickman run, she started wearing that again.
Yeah, I remember. I have that figure.
That's weird that she started wearing it again. And it's funny that like in this universe, the Kree and the Skrull have made like this fucking pact, this truce pact. But T-Birds just like instantly knocks out this Kree soldier and this Skrull soldier. It's like, these guys are bad guys, right? They're evil. We should knock them out.
I didn't get that. I mean, I saw that, but I thought that was one of those moments where, okay, yeah, I didn't see it as the way.
Because around this time, there was like the big Kree-Skrull war that happened on Earth. So,
okay. See, I thought this was like he was trying to take out the observers or something, like basically the cameras on the whole operation.
He's like, why did you do that? And he's like, they what? Oh, like, no, they are it's peace. They don't fight each other anymore. He's like, oh my bad.
Yeah. There's another moment where he just looks fucking weird. Still trying to figure out like this whole two.
It's just not consistent. Yeah, it's just not consistent.
Yeah, what is his thing?
Even Morph is more consistent than him.
Yeah.
Morph is the one that can change into anything.
I really like Morph's look, by the way. I mean, it's super stupid, but there's something about it. He's got the pirate boots, the pirate glove.
And the thing is, he's a huge character that looks exactly like this in Age of Apocalypse. And even in the first issue, Blink sees him, and he even looks like that. She's like, oh my God, Morph, you're alive. Where's everybody else? And he's like, a pervert. He's like, oh, hey, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, you can keep hugging me.
Yeah. He looks dumb, and he was more serious in Age of Apocalypse, but I like the way he looks, too. He's way better than, like, Dope Fiend animated series Morph with the high-pitched voice.
Yeah, dude, so bad. Coked out.
Yeah.
Oh, bad. You said Dope Fiend.
I said Dope Fiend.
You said Dopey. Yes.
Phoenix heel turns real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She kills Scott, man.
Yeah, fucked up, man. Killed Skinny him. Scott.
Skinny Scott with the full cowl. I love that one.
It's a good one.
Kills him.
I really like Cyclops. A lot of people not like Cyclops. I like Cyclops.
I like Cyclops a lot, too. I feel like people that don't like Cyclops don't even really give him a chance. I like Cyclops a lot.
Mm.
I think it's a great character. And maybe it's the bomber jacket. Maybe I'm nostalgic for the bomber jacket.
Yeah, it's really, there's a version of Cyclops.
It's hard not to like the Cyclops.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little cliche, a little eye rolly that Calvin was in love with Jean.
That's just like, same.
I'm tired of it, man. Jean Grey's cool, but everybody loves her. But I do appreciate that they referenced that later. So Wolverine pops back up. He's going to fucking kill Morph. They tell him what's going on, and he realizes that since Cyclops is dead, obviously Jean's not Jean anymore.
I think that was an interesting... I have a hard time believing that he could kill Morph at all. Like, is Morph just a thing of goop in a brain? Like, I don't know.
I don't think so either, but I also think that maybe Morph doesn't know.
Yeah, I can see that. It's kind of like if you cut off Wolverine's head, can he yeah. regenerate?
Or like if he drowned Wolverine, is he dead?
Right. There was one thing that I didn't realize, but it was something that's mentioned later in the story. So Phoenix reveals herself. Wolverine then realizes, like, okay, shit, like that's whatever. But when Mimic is fighting her. You know, he has his wings, whatever. He's going in to dive bomb. And as he absorbs the power from her, I didn't notice that his wings, like, liquidate. Like, they disappear off his body. Which I thought was cool, because I hated that part of him.
I hated that they were, like, they look like bat wings sometimes. And then sometimes they look like full-on Hawkman wings. I didn't like that they were, like...
They look like gargoyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just noticed that. I thought that was kind of cool. I didn't see it the first time.
What I was talking about earlier, though, is like they make a callback to... I have a problem with Calvin being in love with Jean.
Yes.
But I feel like the writer knows that. And so a few pages later, Angel, which is one of my... I hate that character. if he's not Archangel, he's worthless.
Yeah.
Angel's carrying Wolverine, and he's like... We got to kill her, right? Whatever. They're on the same page. And he's like, you know, I loved her, right? And Wolverine's like, hey, man, we all did.
<It's just> like, yeah.
We get it. Like, how weird is that to say? Like, in my opinion, it's just Scott and Wolverine and Jean. That's the love triangle. Like, to make it everybody, that's kind of lame.
Yeah. In fact, I will say that confused me because I thought that was Calvin. I was like, blonde guy with wings.
Yeah. No, that's lame ass Angel. All I can do is fly.
With the coolest emblem on his shirt. The tilted halo.
Halo. I hate Angel so much. And apparently he died too. Like Wolverine's mangled bodies on the ground, but obviously he's gonna
healing.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious who actually died like there, because, you know, looks like Wolverine lost an arm. Storm got fucking baked.
Storm is dead, for sure.
Yeah.
Angel looks dead.
He looks pretty dead.
Colossus is probably alive.
Well, yeah, and I think I always wonder about Colossus. If he still has his metal on, then he's probably still conscious, right?
Yeah, yeah. Even Calvin makes a reference to that in the next issue, or no, earlier in this issue. They're healing him, and they're like, hey, man, how are you doing? He's like, I'm good. I'm going to stay in this metal form so I don't bleed out. But then the healing factor is also working underneath, so that's pretty cool. And there was like in World War Hulk, my favorite tie-in was when he goes and Hulk fights the X-Men. And he goes through like the entire roster of the current X-Men, and Colossus is there. And Colossus is a strong character, right? Hulk is Hulk, though. And they're fighting back and forth. And World War Hulk takes his arms and like bends them, like freaking breaks them. And it's like mangled arms, bent metal. And afterwards, after Hulk leaves, you see them like having to use like a welding machine to like put them back, because if he went into his human form, they would just be like fucking dust, meat flaps. And so they have to like weld them back into like a normal position for them to heal. And I think that's cool. I think that's a cool power, man.
Yeah.
But she's dead. Jean's dead. Everybody's heartbroken, but then they get zapped out. And I love that. I love that it's like, all right, yeah, you solved the problem. We're out.
Yeah, solved that particular problem. It's like saved planets, but you probably killed like that entire team.
Yeah. And even in the first, like, in the first mission, hundreds of people die. But they still solved the problem. All right, we're out of there.
Yeah, they did like thousands, even.
Yeah, and they even reference it like, I think we failed. And they're like, no, we did what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, man.
And that's the end of Volume 1. Two adventures. Very cool. We can briefly talk about the next one.
I definitely want to talk about the cover on this one because it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's a really bad cover.
I don't really like the interior art.
It changes, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's different. It's like everything's like sharp and overdone.
Very, very.
New characters have like groibles. just for the sake of having them.
Groibles? Yeah, it's very much, it's closer to the classic 90s style for sure.
Yeah. I think that will be the first issue that of the thick cut we talk about.
Yeah. One thing I don't like is a lot of classic Hulk stories. He's like kind of slobbery, and they really like to animate the slobber in there. Like, it's got to be white. It's got to be a lot.
Yeah, I really don't like this art style. But this art style pops back up a lot through this series, so I'm sort of used to it. And I'm not even a huge fan of and we'll talk about it in a second when we talk about the full volume, but I'm not even a huge fan of the first art style, but I like it. I like the more rounded style than this like edgy extreme style.
Yeah, this book is definitely like firmly in the middle of art, like as far as the early 2000 books and the 90s, like,
yeah,
just ridiculous art style.
Yeah, I feel like the first volume is better than like the typical 90s, like just we're knocking out pages. And it's hard to not compare it to like current art styles. Like, you know, a lot of the modern artists that we see are just like knocking it out of the park. It's hard to compare. Can't compare it because it's different times.
Yeah. And that being said, I know in 15 years, some people will be like, oh man, I can't believe they fucking read this shit. So
yeah. When the AI art is just taken over completely.
Yeah.
That's volume number one. If you want to continue the story with us, Simon already read Exiles number 5, so I can't wait to talk to him about that. I'm going to start this over on Thick Cut.
Yeah, like, you get to hear the sizzles. You just have to join our Patreon. It's super cheap, guys.
It is super cheap.
It's really cheaper than a cup of coffee, and it really is.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. And a month. I do appreciate everybody that has signed up and has continued to sign up, even though we fell off this past, like, fall. I appreciate you guys.
But let's talk about what do you think about the art?
Like I said, I mean, I didn't despise it by any means, but it definitely is like of that era.
New era. It had like a new era vibe, like the fresh young talent was coming in. You know, whether it's like not now, but like at the time, it's 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s.
You could see the digital in there.
Yeah.
That was trying to take hold. So you could tell it was probably like traditionally inked, but then the digital color. I don't know. I don't hate it by any means. There's still those remnants, though, that in some places it's a little cringy, but otherwise, I mean, it was solid. I mean, most of it was consistent. It was all readable. I didn't have any problems. This isn't, you know, a Capullo back in the Spawn days where you're like, what is even happening in these panels?
Heavy shadows to make up for.
Yeah.
Misplaced arms and stuff like that.
Right. I mean, it's definitely 2002-ish art, but yeah, I don't hate it.
What do you think about the story so far? Intro. I feel like issue 1-4 was a good intro. We get two adventures, jam-packed. In the first four issues. How are you feeling? What do you think? Are you okay with this being a thick cut? Because if not, you can be like, nah.
Vote it down. Okay. No, I'm honestly intrigued because of all the possibilities. In fact, as far as I've read on this, it's still goofy, like late 90s, early 2000s comic. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I love the possibilities that the Elseworlds shit that they can get into. So yeah, I'm digging it so far.
I hate people that say you got to get through the first season. You got to get through the first volume. I hate totally. That. Totally. But yeah. I do know that it does get better. And I know that you're a fan of 2099 Spider-Man. I'm just going to say later on down the line, he joins the team. If that's something to keep you hooked in.
And then he gets his head twisted off. No, I mean,
then uses his ghost powers to disappear forever.
I'm excited to see what happens with the team. Some of them I'm like, okay, that person could go ahead and go.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see in the stakes as well, you know, to see Magnus, even though I did not care about that character. Nobody could have
No one did.
It was cool that it was like, okay, he's gone. He's
the out. Coolest thing was that he was Magneto's son.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's even more powerful than Magneto.
That being said, I mean, it's basically like Goku Gohan rules. But anyway, that being said, to just be replaced by another character I don't care about.
I think that I'm just going to tell you right now that happens a lot.
Yeah. Maybe an adjacent like a character is like, oh, you know, whatever.
I kind of like that it's not adjacent. I kind of like that it's like a completely random.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, it's cool. It's a cool concept. I'm not mad at it. I don't hate it. I was very intrigued. I kept reading it because I wasn't sure where it stopped. So I just kept reading. So, yeah.
So I think we just have to grade this thing, which in the thick cut, we don't technically grade it because we're reading it.
Yeah. Our grade is whether or not we continue.
Yeah. And you hear our groans at the end of it. Like if you listen to the Batman thick cut, I'm just like, ah, fuck. And if you want a copy of our review, our grading chart, you have to join our Discord. It's in the FAQ section at the very top. It's going to be weird grading this because I feel like if I give it too low of a grade, it's like, why are they continuing it?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I really don't know what I would grade it because I am.
We're not grading it, man. We're not going to grade it. Well, we don't know yet. It's the thick cut. If you want to know what we think about it, you have to subscribe.
I'll give it a grade. But I mean, I'll explain
initial why. Thoughts,
like we always do. So, I'm gonna get. I don't know. I'm gonna give it like a F2, and the this reason it's lightly toasted, right? It's
okay,
but it's at the beginnings. I can enjoy it, right? It does leave me wanting more, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to keep reading this. I think that the premise of the book is really the hook. It's not about the characters. It's not about really any of that. It's the premise is that it's these people that are sucked out of their own times, their own realities. They're put in to solve problems in these other realities. And to me, that's really, really intriguing. So
yeah, the characters are almost indifferent. Like, yeah. I think Blink is, I feel like Blink is the only important character.
Well, and they kind of are like avatars for these endearing qualities. So, you know, you have like the honorable one, which might be Calvin, right? Or,
yeah, he's like the hero, but like he serves as also the love interest for the main character, Blink. So if he dies, it boosts her character. Like, you know, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. You have archetypes for a team book.
Right. So I am intrigued. I want to see Miguel.
Yeah. I'm glad that you did rate it. Now, see, I read every issue of the series, so I don't feel like I could give it an honest grade because I'm a huge fan of Exiles in general. But I'm interested to see, to actually call back to this when we finish, because it's 100 issues. Which is wild if you think about it. 100 issues of any series, like Invincible, wildly successful, coveted series, 144 issues, went on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long time. If you release an issue every month, that's 12. That's just 12 issues.
Yeah. So maybe for you, I'm curious, on a return viewing, right? Something that you're a huge fan of. You really like that you suggested it. You have a fondness for these, maybe not characters, but for the story itself. So
even the characters, man. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say around 50, issue 50, we have a different team. Which you could probably assume. The way that things are going. We have a completely different team.
I honestly thought somebody was going to die every issue.
So. Yeah. We have a completely different team. And even if you read issue 5 and 6, you kind of see this new team that's going to like, it's a whole different thing. So we have a whole different team, but then they have like an annual issue where the original Exiles, it's like a weird side mission that we don't get to see. So like the original Exiles did a mission before this mission where they interact with this future team. And so it's like it's a crazy story where we get Magnus and all these characters back only for an issue, but it's like they're interacting with this future team that they don't know.
I see. So they exist here.
So Blink is like, what are you guys doing? They're like, I don't know who you are. And so it's like this conflicting thing. It's so good.
Huh.
It's cool. Good. It only gets better, as you can imagine, with 100 issues. We're progressing into the future where writing gets better and things
like that. Sam, all about that. I honestly love anything with like time and timelines.
Same.
Shit like that. That's cool because it's endless.
Yes.
It's endless.
And as Simon alluded to in the beginning, Simon and I have a comic book that we've written and we're going to continue to write. It's very time-based, but it's the same thing. It's like the reason why we picked a time sort of based stories because the opportunity for stories are endless.
Well, and there's a really cool and something that we incorporated in ours. I love the idea of making, like, in our reality, 9/11 is the worst thing. It's the worst thing. But I love the idea of 9/11. I'm just kidding. No, I love the idea of like,
and then you just like break out in like a ISIS propaganda suite.
I love the idea of making something bad happen, as they had to do with Phoenix, right? In this story, making something bad happen because something worse was gonna happen. Like they do it. Stephen King does it in 11/22/63. You know, in our book, we were gonna do it. In this book, we're doing it. Like the idea of pushing out something bad that's going to happen to prevent something worse is very intriguing to me because it's like you have to pick the world is shit, so you have to pick the lesser of two evils.
You kind of got to make the play that you wouldn't normally make, but the outcome is severely worse,
right?
So it's like, hey Calvin, you're in love with Jean Grey, you also have to kill her.
Sorry bro,
I would never do that. Well, she's also going to murder everyone.
So it's
I have to do that. Because I am the archetype, you know, male He-Man hero. I have to do that.
Yeah, it's like the train track, you know, parable or whatever, where it's like you've got one person, you've got a Y in the train tracks, you have like a child on one side and like five people on the other side. Which, what do you do? Who do you save? apparently in that new sidebar, sure. In that sure. new, yeah, done. And that new Justin Roiland video game, there's like a thing like that. Uh-huh. And I was like, there's one versus five, and one of them was like, oh, I'm so glad you saved me. I'm totally gonna be doing genocide from now on because like you saved me. And it's like, I love that sense of humor, but I don't know about that game. Like,
we'll talk about that off air. Yeah, we'll talk about that off air. I have some thoughts.
Yeah, we're all over the place, man.
The thick cut.
Yeah, sizzles.
If you're interested at all, like, again, I'm going to be talking about this online. If you follow us on Twitter, maybe you don't follow us on Twitter anymore. I'm on Hive. Are you guys down with Hive yet? Hive's a new thing.
I'm on Hive. That's an ISIS propaganda if I've ever heard
of. Yeah. If you guys see us online, we're going to be talking about Exiles. Maybe I'll make a couple TikTok videos until it gets banned. But if you want to know really what we think, and honestly, for me, it's a treat to revisit a series that I love that I haven't read since the original run that I legitimately have up there. Like, it's such a treat to introduce the Terrifics to Simon because I love that story so much. And even, like, if Simon was to say, I don't like it because this, this, and this, it would just give me a new perspective on, like, how to view it. It wouldn't change how I felt about it, but it would be like, oh, man, this is great. Simon's my best friend. It would be a great perspective. And so this is another story that forever, like, one of the stories that really got me back into comic books. Like, I have collected forever. And Simon mentioned earlier on that this is around the same time that Ultimates started popping off. Probably about a year or two later, Ultimates started popping off, maybe 5 years later, but that resurgence of comic books started coming back, and this is what got me back into it. So it's great for me to revisit it. I would love to hear Simon's thoughts on it, and so if you guys want to hear more about it, you don't get Starbucks once.
Just once. Actually, yeah. It's going to be way less than the Star, unless you get an Americano, like Grande,
that's cheaper. That's what I get there.
Oh, well,
my wife gets like it looks like something from Clark Griswold, Wally World. It looks like the most insane drink. And I get like a watered down black coffee.
Yeah, I was like, can I get espresso with water?
Yeah, I got a watered down black coffee. That's me. That's what I get. It's not just going to be what's on Patreon. This past couple of weeks, I've been thinking about it a lot and I've been gathering some assets. So Simon and I have been talking about revisiting, making a comic book, comic books, in maybe a webtoon form. I think that's the direction we're going to go. But in that same vein, I've been practicing my art a little bit more. And every time I go to my comic book shop, I'll pick up a blank cover. There's a blank variant for like random comic books. And I don't want to put Simon on the spot, but I got enough so that Simon and I could trade off. So
I could ruin some. Great.
So whether we do, I have enough to where maybe Simon and I can do, we have one every month, or we can trade off a month. And like, I do one and we do a giveaway for the Patreon subscribers. And then you kind of like pick what you want and what you want us to draw on there. And we do a giveaway. And so that's going to be a thing that I want to do on there. I'm really excited about it. It may be just like a thing that I'm just excited about. Maybe people aren't, but I think it'll be cool. And it also gives sort of like an incentive type thing. So lots of potential. You know, I've queued up some things that I want. In previous episodes of the podcast, you probably heard me and Simon talk about movies that he hasn't seen, like Fantastic Four Stick or Fan Four Stick.
Fan Four Stick, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't seen a couple of movies that I can't wait. I cannot wait to watch them with him and get his opinion on.
I don't know. It's got to be more video-based because I'm sure the audio would just be me groaning.
No, those are going to be videos. So, and this is, you know, whatever. If you're a fan of the podcast, you can listen to some of this. So I want to focus on YouTube a lot more in 2023. And so I want to watch some of these movies. I want to watch, Simon had this idea last year, which I thought was genius. I can't believe we didn't do it. But we wanted to do a video series of like, why I hate the X-Men movies. And like really watch them and like sit down and then like every set, like pause and then dissect it and why I hate them. Right. And we would chop that up to make a short YouTube video. But over on Patreon, we would just put the whole thing on. And so you would watch me and Simon watch this entire movie. Same thing with like Fan Four Stick and all of those movies. And so we would just go through whatever, multiple movies and like that you haven't seen that maybe I hate in general, and you would get the full viewing on Patreon.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of things planned for 2023. I'm really excited about it. And, man.
Yeah, I think so.